Well, glad to have you here today. I'm going to be reading out of 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5 today, the story of Naaman. My sermon title today I have is God's Plan and No Other. My wife and I are so thankful to be invited back to be able to be with you guys. We were so excited last week to be here. I've always believed the first time you're a guest and the second time you're family, right? And so hopefully you guys feel the same. And I'm going to read all of 2 Kings 5, and then we'll pray after that. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him that the girl from Israel had said, "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and he said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send me someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the men come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand all over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And we'll pray there, and we'll continue in just a second. Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to meet. We know that there's a pandemic going on, God, and we're so grateful that we're able to come and just read your word and just to continue to live a life that is pleasing to you, God. Be with us, strengthen us, help us to stay focused on the things that you have for our lives, and that we follow your plan, God, and no other. Amen. As I'm going through thinking about kind of what to speak about, as I've gone through Easter, it happened, and we talked about living a life for Christ last week, I came across the idea of God's plan and no other. I shared a small story with you guys of myself personally last week about how my mom had passed away serving the Lord in West Africa, and how we learned early on that God had a plan and a purpose for everything that he did. I checked out this story that I heard of, which I thought was pretty amazing for today's kind of message. And they call it, it's an old tale that they told for years, and they called it The Kind King and His Minister. And this story is about a king, a very kind king, and he had a minister, and everywhere he went, the minister would go with him. Well, one day the king is sitting there, and he's cutting an apple, and all of a sudden he cuts his finger really, really bad. I mean, it's a bad cut, and he's like, "I don't know why God would allow this to happen in my life." And the minister, being the great friend that he said, "Don't worry, whatever happens, happens for God. It's the mercy of God, thank God." Of course, the king is furious, and he said, "That's it, I'm done with you today, you're going to jail." He said, "Get the guards together, take him to jail, I want nothing to do with him." And the minister smiled, and on his way out, you could hear him say, "Whatever happens, happens for good, thank you, God." Well, the king decides later on that day that he's going to go out, and he's going to go hunting. Well, the only person that ever goes with him is the minister, but, you know, he's in that type of mood, and he says, "You know what, I need to go hunting today." So he heads out to go hunting, and in the middle of his hunting, he's ambushed by a local tribe, who gets a hold of him and takes him back to their village. And they're getting ready to sacrifice him to their god. So he's up there and he's wondering, how did he end up getting there in that spot? Well, right around then, they notice that there's a really bad cut on his hand. And he goes, you know what? This is not pure enough for us to sacrifice to our god, so we're going to let him go. And so the king ends up heading back to his area that he's at, and he releases his minister from prison, and he said, I am so sorry that I ever doubted that God had a plan in there, because he saved me from being used as a sacrifice. And the minister says, well, I would like to also thank you for sending me to prison. And the king's going, why are you so happy that I sent you to prison? He said, I have to go with you no matter where you go. And because they weren't going to sacrifice you, they were going to end up sacrificing me, and you saved my life. And I love how that story goes, because there's so many different stories that didn't go the way that were planned. The king's story didn't go as planned. The minister probably didn't think he'd end up being sharing good news to the king, even though the king had been cut. And you guys may have those friends that say, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. And you're like, oh, man, you know what? I'm going to allow it happen. But that's one of the things I see in Naaman. When it comes to the story of Naaman, a lot of people see it more in a healing aspect of it. I see it in a way that Naaman has a story that he's not 100% sure of how it's going to go. He's understanding, and I love how he takes all this stuff. I can think of it. He's taking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because he's going to pay to make sure that he's healed. And someone tells him to dip in the water 7 times. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me financially, but I'm going to go ahead and save those thousands and thousands, and I'll dip in the water as many times as you want. But it wasn't the plan that he had ready. He was going to pay somebody, and somebody was going to take care of that to happen. When I think about God's plan, I like to think about a lot of things he's done in my life. And personally, lately, he has filled one of the greatest needs in my life, and that's a wife. I believe I've become a completely different person. We were married on November 7th, right in the middle of this pandemic. And I kind of like to tell a little of that story because it's kind of an insane story. As I shared a little bit about with you guys the last time I was here, in 2019, I lost my job in around September. And I had no work at the time, and I know the Bible clearly says, if I don't work, I don't eat. So I called up my uncle up in Michigan, and I said, hey, I would like to do construction up there. Well, we fast forward a little bit, and God brings me back down here to be able to teach here. And I go to church that week, and I said, you know what, God, I'm ready to get married. You can, whatever you need, though, I'm also ready to be single, but I'd love to also be married. I'm 32 years old. And there's nothing really happening for me right now. I would love that to happen. We'll come to have this crazy long plan as it continues on. And I'll tell you guys a little about it because it's just an amazing story. A family we hadn't seen in years shows up to the church that day. Little did I know she was showing up to offer me her cousin. I have no idea this is happening. And I'm there and we're talking in a group. And I'm like, listen, they're trying to set me up. And I said, listen, you send them. I don't care. If they love Jesus, I will go on this date, and we will find out what happens from there. And her cousin Blanca goes, well, I have a cousin that's been single, and she loves the Lord, and she is looking to be married soon. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you keeping this person from me? This could have been taken care of long, many years ago. Well, we end up getting to meet her mom actually flies her up. She's from the Dominican Republic, and her mom actually flew her up to meet me, which I thought was crazy. I couldn't leave anywhere because I was just getting into teaching. I didn't have any days off at that time, and so I was kind of stuck there. I didn't even have a passport that was renewed yet, so I was trying to get that all taken care of, and so we end up meeting in February. And of course, being the smart man that I am, I saw how beautiful she was and how much she loved Jesus, and I asked her out within a week, and I said, listen, it's me, or you might have to wait a little longer. And she said, all right, I'll take you for the time being. Well, you go a little bit later, and I think we all know what happened. The world shuts down, and me and my girlfriend at that time are apart for 4 to 5 months. We can't be around each other because she can't travel. We couldn't travel here and things like that. And I am not a huge fan of computers. I'd rather just kind of play sports or hang out with people. But for 10 hours a day, her and I would stare at each other on the screen of a computer. And it is insane to see how God works, because in that time, we just grew more and more in love with each other. And it was one of those things that I can never explain to people, and I know that this pandemic has been really tough on a lot of people, so I never try to push aside the hurt that has gone through a lot of people. But as I explained, this was the best year of my life personally, and I can never thank God enough for it. But it wasn't the plan I had prepared. When I was sitting there thinking when I was a young guy of how I want to get engaged, it was this awesome, beautiful story. It wasn't 4 to 5 months staring at each other on a screen trying to decide what else can we talk about today that might be entertaining. But that's what God chose to use that. And on November 7th, I got to marry this amazing, beautiful woman who has such a heart for God. It's just incredible. But that was God's plan for my life. It wasn't mine. And I've had to learn to take a step back on that and trust God in those situations. There was times of anger as I'm going from 26 years old to 32. I did not have a single girlfriend or a single thing happening in my life. All my friends are getting married and having kids, and I'm waiting around. I'm like, God, I'm trying to be faithful, and I don't know 100% what's going on. And when I read the story of Naaman, I noticed that Naaman didn't really like the way that it was supposed to be done. But once he had trusted what was to be done, he trusted God in this situation, God healed him of his leprosy. And I continue on in this chapter because we get to hear about another guy who he decides to make his own story too, and it doesn't go good for his life. In verse 15, as we continue, it says, "Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, 'Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant.' The prophet answered, 'As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing.' And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. 'If you will not,' says Naaman, 'please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down and he is leaning on my arm, I have to bow there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this. Go in peace,' Elijah said." And then we're getting introduced to the next one in the story. After Naaman had traveled some distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said to himself, my master was too easy on Naaman, this Aramean, by not accepting from him what he brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him.' So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running towards him, he got down from his chariot to meet him. 'Is everything all right?' he asked. 'Everything is all right,' Gehazi answered. 'My master said to me, say, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 sets of clothing.' 'By all means, take 2 talents, said Naaman. He urged Gehazi to accept them and then tied up the 2 talents of silver in 2 bags. With 2 sets of clothing, he gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of Gehazi. When Gehazi came to the hill, he took the things from the servants and put them away in the house. He sent the men away, and they left. When he went in and stood before his master, Elijah asked him, 'Where have you been, Gehazi?' 'Your servant didn't go anywhere,' Gehazi answered. But Elijah said to him, 'Was not my spirit with you when the man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this the time to make money or to accept clothes or olive groves and vineyards or flocks and herds or male and female slaves? Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever.' Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leprous, and it became white as snow." And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you had an entire generation that will now be affected by leprosy because he wanted 2 outfits, as I think of that one. And I think of how many times, and I'm sure you guys have stories, and I'll be sharing a few stories as we go through here, and I put under other passages talking about Moses as he hit the rock and how he would no longer be allowed to enter the promised land. About Adam and Eve from the beginning told him, hey, you can't eat that fruit. And where did they go as soon as they could? I think of Peter as he's telling Jesus himself, he's like, listen, Jesus, they might all desert you, but I will never deny you in what happens in that. My first point that I have you today, and I love using a lot of scriptures because I never want, when I'm speaking up here at the pulpit, to be the words that Luke speaks, but the words that God has given us in his amazing and perfect word. The first point I have for you today says, God had your plan from the start. In Psalms 139:16, and I think this may be one of many of people's favorite verses when they're really wondering what's going on in their life. It says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In Isaiah 14:24, it says, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be, and as I have purposed, so it will happen. And I have many examples as I go through of here in the Bible, but I love using the example of Joseph. And some of you may remember he had all those brothers. He has the coat of many colors. He's thrown into a pit. They pretty much want to kill him, but they decide instead to sell him into slavery. Then he's in slavery, and all of a sudden, he's working his way up, and his master's really proud. And the master's wife decides, hey, I kind of like how Joseph looks. And that ends up putting him into prison as he tries to deny anything that happened. Of course, nothing had happened in that sense. He's in prison all of a sudden, and he is interpreting dreams as he goes in there. And all of a sudden, he ends up being at one of the highest places. And I love what he turns to his brothers, and he said, what you intended for bad, God intended for good. And I think of that when we think about how God had your plan from the very start. It may not look exactly like what you wanted. It may have started a little later than you wanted. It may have started a little earlier than you wanted. But God had your plan ready from the start. In my second point today, I place that God allows suffering to happen in our lives. And this one just rocks people's worlds. They don't like hearing this one. When I'm a 7-year-old boy and I'm sitting there in the corner as my dad tries to give CPR to my mom, that wasn't the plan that I had intended for my life, to watch my mom pass away and to go to be with the Lord at the age of 7. But God allows that suffering to happen in our lives for many reasons, and for some that we may not even understand, even when we get there one day. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and the God of all grace, who you called to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. James 1:12 said, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And as sad as it was at that time to see my mom pass away when I was 7 years old, to know the life that she lived for Christ, to die overseas in West Africa, delivering the word of the Lord, there cannot be a more amazing, beautiful story than that. When I think of this point, I think of Lazarus. And a lot of us know this one and the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus actually passes away. But days before that, Jesus had an opportunity to be there and to heal him before that time had come. They had seen healings before. The area around there, they have seen sorcerers even do it. They even question when Jesus did it, you know, who is he doing this? By what power is he doing this? But they had never seen something like someone raised from the dead. This plan that Jesus had ready for him, as confusing as it is to us, it was ready for there. I was even talking to my wife today about the sisters coming forward and explaining, why have you let him pass away? And all of a sudden, Lazarus is brought back from the dead. That may not have been a situation where people are like, oh, you know, that's not a lot of pain. I can't assume there's much more pain than dying. And that is something that Lazarus had to go through. And then he was raised from the dead. He had gone through a sickness and he had passed away. And God had raised him from the dead to show the power that existed with Jesus. On my third point I placed here, I put, God is not done working in and through you. And that's hard for a lot of people. And a lot of people who I've met in the Christian faith who are going through depression or on a down position in their life is because they don't see or feel that God is working through them. And so I place that, God is not done working in and through you. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Psalm 37:23-24 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I think of Peter when I think of this point right here and how God is not done with you. If God should have been done with anyone, it should have been Peter. There's many other stories like that in the Bible as it goes on, and I put those verses there, and I even have them, and I could go about reading them, and they exist in Luke 22:31-38. But Jesus basically lets Peter know, hey, you're going to deny me. And one of those things that would be the toughest thing for me to hear if I was one of the disciples of Christ is that I'm going to deny you. And I'll be like, there's no way. There is no way that that's ever going to happen in that. Before the rooster crows, though, and we know the story, Peter denies Jesus three times. And he goes through a tough part in his life. And he's not 100% sure what's going to happen. But if you fast forward to Acts in the beginning of that, you notice who stands up receiving the Holy Spirit and speaks to many. And that's Peter. And Peter becomes the rock, as Christ said earlier, that he built his church upon. And thousands were saved that day, and it continued. But God is not done working in and through you. Even in the life of Peter, we saw it. And there may be times where you're like, you know what, I think I'm on the coasting side of life. That all of a sudden I can just continue to just let it go through there. But God has his plan, and I want you to know he is working through it. Working in and through you, even at this time in your life. The fourth thing that I mentioned down there is that it says God will fulfill his purpose in us. Ephesians 1:9-10 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven, on earth, under Christ. 2 Timothy 4:6-7 says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I think of John in this sense of it, ending up being, the Apostle John, as he's in there. He is disciple of Christ, and he is the only one left of the group of them. They had 12 of them from the start, went down to 11, went back up to 12, went down to 1. And John is there, and he is left stranded on an island. Most likely, and I can't say that for certain because it doesn't say too much about it, but I feel like he was like, all right, I'm here. I'm left to die. And he actually has a vision of one of the most important books in the Bible, of Revelation there. God's will fulfill his purpose in us. It's not done. It may seem like some of your best years are behind you, and the good ones are few and far between as they continue on in life, but I promise God will fulfill his purpose in us. I always have such a high respect for my dad, and it's tough, one of those things you realize of being a pastor's kid and also a missionary kid, you go through a lot. And also people look at you really interesting because they assume as a pastor's kid you might be a little off, and I might be a little weird, and that may be true on that one. But as I saw my father being faithful and realizing that his life wasn't done, it's such kind of a beautiful story to tell. We go in, and my mother had passed away, of course, and so we come back to, and my dad preaches the funeral. And as I told you, there's that friend, just like that minister, there's people like, praise God, she's in heaven. And then some people like, oh, I'm so sad, you'll probably never recover from that. There were so many different things being thrown at him. But within a couple months, God told him, hey, you're heading back out to Africa. That is what I have for you, and you're going. Every single friend, pastor, anyone he knew told him not to go. But my father went anyways. And that's something that I'll always respect about him. Well, we end up going out there, and one of my teachers was an amazing young lady named Kathy. And she was my teacher, actually, when I was out in West Africa. And as my dad heads back, and he's there, all of a sudden he's feeling that just kind of tug at his heart that possibly Kathy might be the next one for him. But she's a little bit younger. He always tells the stories. He was balding. He was getting bigger. He was older. He had two kids. He didn't have much to offer. But that's the thing that's amazing when God's plan is going on. It doesn't matter. There's nothing that can get into the great things that he has planned. Well, they go on to begin to talk, and I remember this to this day, being in a boarding school, being 7 years old, not having a mom, and I'm going around, and they walked us around the area that we were at to let us know that he had asked her to be his wife, and she said yes. And as they got married, you realize that this amazing plan that my dad thought he had as my birth mom named Holly, he thought that was going to be his life there. But God had other plans. And because my dad was faithful, and it's something that I encourage you today, be faithful in that plan. Because as it continues on, we end up heading back out to West Africa to a country named Benin. And I don't know the whole numbers, and I was a young guy there. But my dad planted over 20 churches out there, and I saw him baptize hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people. And it's one of those things, if he had allowed that moment to collapse everything in his spiritual life, oh, how many lives would have not been touched because he didn't simply say yes to what God has. I know I can't say exactly where you're at right now. I never have been one of those things that's been not really a benefit, but something that I've been allowed to do because my mom passed away. People will reach out to me when someone has passed away that's close to them. They said, Luke, how do you deal with what it goes? And I can definitely talk to them. But there's a lot of you going through different things. That may be financial struggles. They may be spiritual struggles. They may be interpreting the Bible to be the way that God would have you to do it, that you're having issues with that. And I want to pray for you guys as we close up today, that you guys stay strong in that and that you continue to read. And you continue to search that because I promise you that your plan is not done and that God is still working in and through you and he will fulfill what he has for your life. I'd love you guys to join me in prayer as we close. God, thank you so much for the many stories that we're watching throughout the Bible. God, we want to pray that as we continue on in our life, as we're reading your word, that it would enter our hearts and just encourage us and help us to continue to fight the good fight. As we watch Paul go through his ministry, God, many a time stoned, many a time shipwrecked, many a times left behind, and all the bruises and all the hurts and all the words couldn't stop him from the true love that exists by having an amazing relationship with you. God, I want to pray today if there's anyone here that has not accepted you to be their personal Savior, that they will come talk to one of us that are here working at the church so that we can pray to give them the greatest gift that has ever been offered and the only free thing that you will ever get in this life. God, we thank you. We praise you. Help us to live out this life that you have for us throughout this week. And it's in your loving and holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.